Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And I was just going over some notes. And we're just going to look a little bit more with the passage that we've been looking at in Matthew chapter 11. And just once again, let me just go ahead and I'll use the Bible real quick. The physical, the hard copy versus the digital. Once again, in Genesis chapter 15, we've been looking at the verses 1 through 6. And the past couple classes, we've been looking at basically verse 2 and 3. And Abram said, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And I think a couple of classes back, I'd read a Spanish commentary, and it just made one little comment, and I thought, wow. And basically, Abram was assessing, he was figuring that which is below based on the natural seeing, the natural hearing, the natural understanding. He was processing it all and saying, this one, this servant, is my heir. Because the law of the land, the way things are, this is the one who the heir is, who will be the heir, since I don't have a seed of my own. So, he was presenting that to the Lord. And we looked at that and just saw how that the Lord brought him out from below, or shall we say, brought his heart out from that which is found below, including the wisdom of man, the understanding of man, the judgment of man. And the Lord tells him to look at the heavens and behold the increase that is found in the heavens, sow the seed. So also the seed. And in that passage, in Genesis, basically, Abram saw the resurrection. He saw the glorified seed of God. He saw the glorified Son of God. And that's when he believed the Lord, after he saw. But we've just been looking at the differences, the past, two, three, four classes, somewhere around in there. The difference between being wise according to the wisdom of the world, or as a babe according to the wisdom of the world, and wise according to the wisdom above, or ignorant according to the wisdom above. And just with these past several classes, I just wanted to say this, that in previous classes, like several years past, I've always made an emphasis on the need from a born-again believer coming in their heart from the understanding of a child to the understanding of a man, or to the understanding of a son. And that is so. It is so. It must be so. All right? That is concerning that which is above for the born-again believer. Now, with these past couple of classes, like two, three, or four classes, what we've been looking at is concerning that which is below for the born-again believer. And concerning that which is below, we are to be as babes, as pretty much ignorant, not knowing, not understanding according to what's below on stuff. And even towards the Lord, our heart should be that as a babe, one who is not knowing except another, one who is basically helpless, who has need and finds his need in another, finds his wisdom in another, finds his strength in another, finds his understanding in another. Do you see how that really beautifully applies with the picture of a child? And this is how we must always come before the Lord. Because if we come to him in our understanding, our wisdom, our knowledge, which is no different than the knowledge below, the knowledge of man, the wisdom of man, the understanding of man, all of which is found below, then we come to him in ignorance versus coming to the Lord, confessing our ignorance, confessing that except he make known, we will never know. We will never have his knowing governing our heart. So, I think it was one of the past, it might have been the last class, I think, I put a diagram out on the internet, which is, it's kind of supposed to be like a three-dimensional diagram, like this is two-dimensional right here, but I kind of made like a diagram where the Lord's outside of that, outside of this, and this is like below. This is below, you know, but on the diagram that you'll find on the internet, the Lord's outside of that, above. And I just wanted to try to, you know, make a couple comments and read just some things that I had written there, because it's kind of hard communicating this, because I've communicated for so long that the born-again believer must come in understanding from the understanding of a child to the understanding of a son. And listen, the understanding of a son is simply this, not I, but Christ. That is the understanding of a son. That is the understanding of a mature one. You can search the scriptures, you're going to find it. You know, where Paul says, I would not that you be ignorant, but growing up, that you would mature unto maturity. All these things is that very understanding. To come unto an understanding of the Son. Not the understanding of man, which is the understanding of a child, but to come in our heart to the understanding of the Son of God himself, Christ himself, where we confess in our hearts, not I, but Christ. So I'll just read this real quick before I start going over our notes here. In respect to the wisdom, regarding the wisdom which is above, we are to be as sons in understanding, have the understanding of a son. Okay, and with respect to the wisdom that is below, we should have the understanding of a child. And then it's basically the wisdom of God versus ignorance, which is the wisdom of man. Right? And like I said, it's really a tough thing to be able to communicate this. I don't know if we'll get to the verses or not during this class, but I've got some verses that where Paul uses, and he kind of makes it a little clearer than what I'm able to communicate even. But what I wanted us to do is to go ahead and look at Matthew once again. Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25. And we looked at this passage, I think it was last class and maybe a previous class, and possibly the class before that. And I'll just go ahead and read it. And this, once again, the context of this was that Jesus was upbraiding three different cities that though he did great miracles, signs, and wonders, and declared to them the good news, the gospel, they did not repent. Though all those works were done, they still did not repent. They still could not come under repentance. All right. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, those concerning those cities, those who would not repent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And then he goes on, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see that? Come unto me. Those in those three cities who are wise and prudent, according to the wisdom and prudence of the world, of man, would not come unto him. They did not come unto repentance. They did not come unto the Lord. They did not turn to the Lord. And yet he's speaking of those right here. Revealed unto babes, his disciples who did come unto him and who did continue with him, who did to whatever degree repent. Now, I know that Jesus at that moment still had not come to the cross yet. It was for his disciples, it was an outward repentance. They came to the Lord. But see, ever since the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, now it is an inward repentance that has to happen. Not doing things on the outside. No. That means nothing to God. Remember, in Isaiah, we read a couple classes ago, the Lord says, you know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. True repentance is when the heart turns unto the Lord. All right? For the one who's not born again, the very first time they truly repent, Christ appears in that soul where he was not before. And that's a miracle. Man believes that he can repent whenever he desires. No, it is an impossibility with man. Man cannot repent. Man cannot bring his heart unto repentance. No, it is a miracle of God that God would grant repentance unto a heart, unto a soul. The Holy Spirit is continually preparing the ground of the hearts of men, the ground of the souls of men throughout the world to bring unto repentance. And as I mentioned, the first time a heart turns unto the Lord, the first time a person repents, and it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit bringing their heart unto the Lord, causing them to turn unto the Lord, then Christ immediately appears in that soul. But see, the work of God does not change at that moment. No, the work of God continues. The Holy Spirit continues just the same testimony, declaring the same purpose, continually preparing the ground of the heart so that it may turn now. The second. But now it isn't so much so that Christ may appear where he was not before. No, the one who's born again, Christ is present in the soul. Now it is to behold him who is present. That is, when the heart repents, when the heart turns the second, to behold him who is present. And that is a continual thing. Day after day after day after day, because every day is when the light of the knowledge of the glory of God appears in the face of Jesus Christ. And that happens when the heart turns unto the Lord. And it is day after day after day after day. You can say it's a continual walk of repentance. It is. It is. It's a continual walk of turning unto the Lord. It is a walk in the appearing of the Lord, just like we've been seeing with Abram. It is a walk of faith. Abram, the Jews consider him the father of faith. It is a walk of truth. It is a walk in the light. It is walking in the light, walking in the truth, walking in Christ. So That happens when, by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God Himself, draws our heart unto Jesus, to turn unto the Lord. That's when we repent. That's when God reveals His Son where He is. He makes known His Son where His Son is. All right. So, back to Matthew. I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. You didn't, you couldn't reveal them unto the wise and prudent, because the wise and prudent would not repent. The wise and prudent in this world's wisdom, this world's knowledge, this world's understanding, this world's prudence, does not repent. But you did reveal unto babes who do repent. All right? So we're still looking at that. Unto babes. Revealed unto babes right there. I love this. Children. Okay? All right. And do you see once again? We are not to remain as children in understanding, but to continue as children in respect unto the Lord. In this sense, Lord, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't see. I'll give an example, and I've used this example millions of times. Well, maybe not millions, hundreds, I don't know, maybe tens of times, twenties of times, I don't know. But the wisest man on the earth, King Solomon, when he was praying unto the Lord, he said this: Thy servant is but a child, and I know not how to come in nor to go out. Or maybe it was know not how to go out nor come in, something like that. I may be getting the order on those mixed up a little bit, but this is the whole issue right there. Thy servant is but a child, and I know not. Before the Lord, he confesses his impotence, his inability, his powerlessness to perform or do anything, his strengthlessness, not having strength in his own, his ignorance, I know not, that he may find his knowing, his strength, his ability as the Lord himself. In fact, that he may find all things as the Lord himself made unto him. Verse 27, Matthew chapter 11. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. To gather up all things in one. And this is the posture of the heart that must govern our own heart, that our hearts must have before the Lord continually. If I come across the Lord or someone saying, oh yes, I know exactly what this says, and I can preach it, I can teach it, or I can understand it and make you understand it, oh my gosh, what am I doing? First of all, I'm putting a big stop sign in front of the Holy Spirit and basically saying this: no, I've got it. I don't need your help. I've got it. Well, I don't have it. No man has it. God has it. Shall I read it again? And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. If I am knowing the Son, it is the Father's knowing in me. Because no man, there we go, our square, mankind, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And I love that. It makes us helpless. It makes us like sheep. Like, you know, sheep. It makes the Lord unto us as a shepherd. Even David confessed that, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." All right. Going on. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 19, going on a little bit further. Still in Matthew, but this is Matthew chapter 19. And I want us to start, just so we can get a context of things. Well, let's go ahead and just read verse 13. And then we'll look at the context where this is found in just a second. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, that he should bless them, that the Lord would bless them. Just like, listen, an elder would bless a lesser, right? Just like Isaac blessed Jacob. Just like Jacob blessed Ephraim. And forgive me, I think it was Ephraim. Do you see? The blessing of the greater unto the lesser. Then were there brought unto him, excuse me, I'm checking my audio cable real quick. Forgive me, that only took a second, but one of the classes I just disconnected myself from the audio. We had to do some major video editing to get the audio back onto the video. All right. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now this is the King James Version. I'm going to see if I can pull up the New King James. Let's see, for Matthew. We're at 13, sorry. Verse 14 out of the New King James Version. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Do you see that? Let them come to me. Let them repent and come to me. The same thing. Repentance and coming to the Lord is the same thing. Let them come to me. Let them repent. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. Just real quick, I want us to look at another, just because I thought of it right now. And I've actually got it jotted in my notes. Another place where Jesus lays his hand upon someone. It's beautiful. We always have these preconceived notions of what the Lord's going to do when he appears in our heart, or when he speaks to our heart, or this or that, but it's always the same. This is the book of Revelation, and it's chapter 1. And I want us to look at verse 17 and verse 18. And basically the context of this, John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he hears the voice speaking unto him. He hears the voice of the Lord. And he turns to see the voice. He comes to the Lord. He repents like a little child. He is like a little child. And he turns, he repents. In verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth. I live and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I am the life. Not you, John. Not John. But Christ, the life. I am. I love that. I guess you could do a whole study just on that, on turning to the Lord, or on the heart turning to the Lord, on repentance, or on the Lord blessing. All right, but we're going to go on with Matthew 19 once again. This is that's right there. Do not, Jesus says, let the children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Those who come unto me, knowing they have no ability in themselves, no power within themselves, no might within themselves, no wisdom within themselves, no understanding within themselves, no knowledge within themselves, and yet they are coming to me that they might find all things in me. In Jesus speaking. All right. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I love that. All right. Verse 1 of Matthew 19. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished saying these things, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? He answered and said unto them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. They, the Pharisees, said unto him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? Here's the situation. The Lord is declaring a great mystery. He declared it in Genesis. He declares a great mystery. The two shall be one. Both the two shall be one. And here are these that are governed by the wisdom of the world, governed by the knowledge of the world, governed by the understanding of the world, governed by the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of man, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that is found below, and taking it and using it with the scriptures, and coming up with their own doctrines and teachings, and debating one another. And now they come debating with Christ. And yet, listen, in all their wisdom, all their knowledge, all their understanding, which is of below, they're completely blind of him whom the scriptures testify. Completely blind. Remember, when Moses came down from the mountain, the two tablets of stone, the law, you know, the Ten Commandments, well, they are the tablets of testimony. He came down the mountain with the testimony of Christ. The whole entire scripture is a testimony of Jesus, declaring Christ himself, declaring Jesus. And here are the Pharisees, who are wise in their own eyes, understanding in their own eyes, knowledgeable in their own eyes, and bringing their understanding, which is the understanding of below, the wisdom of below, the knowledge of below, unto the truth, Christ himself. They're testing him with their doctrinal issues, things below. But they are not being obedient unto the testimony. Because obedience unto the testimony would cause their hearts to turn unto the Lord. Verse 7. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" But what about this portion of the law? Or what about now? What about this one? Now what about this one? I just love the Lord's response, because they're taking something out of context, right? Here it is. Here's context. They are they that testify of me. That is the context of the entire Bible, the context of the entire scriptures. They have taken the scriptures out of context and are applying it to, listen, an issue found below, a certain situation found below. And what is the Lord's response? Well, we'll read their question again. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" Here's the Lord's response. I love this. He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, you just wouldn't repent. Your hearts just wouldn't turn to me. Your hearts just, you just would not come to me. I love that. I love that. What was the issue? Their issue was something found on the earth. And the Lord brings and presents to them the greater issue. There is no repentance in your heart. Your heart is hard and you will not turn to me. You will not come to me. He's presenting to them the issue. But they, in their wisdom, in their knowledge, in their understanding, see no need of repentance. They're wise in their own eyes. It would be an insult unto them if they would be considered as babes. How could they be? They're Pharisees. Those who study the scripture. And yet completely take the scripture out of context. All right. So that's the context, or part of the context, where Jesus is talking about, "Let the little children come unto me." All right. Now, further on, after he speaks about letting the little children come to me, we're going to look at the next passage. Here's Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26. "Now behold, one came and said unto him," now listen to this, there is, listen, with all, we've just been speaking concerning the wisdom below, but the wisdom of God brings unto repentance. The wisdom below, the wisdom of man, does not bring to repentance, cannot attain unto repentance. So now we have, behold, one came unto him. Well, you can say, "Oh, well, he repented." No. He repented with the strength of man, but it wasn't a true repentance. Because remember, at the very beginning of this class, I was saying that one cannot truly repent except God grant repentance. Now, hearing that, what we should do is say, "Oh my God, grant me repentance. If I am so unable to do this, God, be my ability and cause my heart to repent." Right? Crying out like a child who has no power indeed, who has no ability in and of themselves, crying out unto one who does. That the Lord Himself would grant repentance. Man can repent. Man can come to the Lord from his own strength. But we've passed classes. If man comes in his own strength, man will leave in his own strength. But remember once again, what God hath joined, let no man separate. When the Lord brings the heart and soul by the Spirit of God unto Christ, it is so. It comes and remains because Christ appears. Now, after one is born again, the heart just continues to behold Him who's present. That's it. That's it. The condition of life is present. The condition of salvation is present because the Son of God, who is the life of the soul, who is the salvation of the soul, who is, listen, the all things of God unto the soul, is present. And now it is a matter of beholding Him who is present. And that only takes place when the heart repents. And the heart only repents when the Spirit of the Lord brings the heart unto repentance. Basically causes the heart to turn unto the Lord. All right. Matthew 19:16. Now behold, one came and said unto him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What good thing can I do or shall I do that I may attain eternal life? He said unto him, Why do you call me good? None is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Now the rich young ruler said to him, Which ones? Jesus said, brings a testimony before him. Remember, the testimony, Moses came down the mountain with the two tables of testimony. You can search it out. It's there in the scripture. And also there they testify of me, John 5:39. And to put the icing on the cake, Jesus says this, And you will not come to me. And you will not repent. All right. Verse 17. So he said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God, but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, the rich young ruler said unto him, Which ones? Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? I've done that. I've done that. Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. I've done that. I've done that in my ability. I've kept that in my power. Or I've not done that by my ability. Or I've not continued doing that, or thought of that, or did that by my own power, by my own ability. I understood what it meant to do and to not to do, and I was able to do it. Remember? The wisdom of man, the understanding of man, the knowledge of man, all of which is below ignorance. And the Lord basically says, Sell it all. Sell all your ability. Sell all your doing. Let it go. And be found helpless. And come unto me. There it is. And come, follow me. What? What do you mean? That's not worth something. No, it's not. What do you mean? Thou shalt not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not lie. You shall honor your mother and your father. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What do you mean doing all these things or not doing those things? That means nothing. Not if you do them. They are they that testify of me. You are not me. Christ is the one who keeps the law. Christ is, listen, the fulfillment of the law and prophets. It was never for man to try to keep it or do it. Man could not. Man could not, cannot, and can never. Now listen to it this way. It's the exact same thing I'm going to say, but just in a different way. Man could never be Jesus, is not Jesus, and can never be Jesus. Does it make more sense now? We are not him. Though we deceive ourselves and try to be him, we don't deceive God. The Father knows the Son. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. The Father knows the Son. He will not recognize an imposter. All right. But in verse 21, Jesus still says this, and come, follow me, that in me you may find all everything. Like a child. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Once again, if you come, if you repent in your own strength, if you come in your own strength, you will leave in your own strength. It must be a miracle of God. Always, it must be a miracle of God. All right. I'll just go ahead and keep on reading. Verse 23, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Well, if that's the case, no one can be saved. Verse 26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Man has no ability, but God is able. With man, impossible. With God, possible. You see it? So, do we come looking unto our own strength, leaning upon our own understanding? Or do we come looking unto the Lord as our strength, as our understanding, as our ability, as our everything? Coming like a child, completely helpless and in need of other, the Lord himself. All right. Another passage. This is Luke chapter 18. We're going to go ahead and read the passage of verse 15 and verse 17. And it's still the same passage. This is one of the parallels of the Gospels, same passage. But it's just a little different, you know, the context here in Luke. But I'll just go ahead and read 15 through 17. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them, those who were bringing the infants. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. I'll read it again. Assuredly, I say to you. I read some commentary, forgive me, I can't remember which commentary was. I'm reading like Spanish commentaries and English commentaries, and it's hard enough to keep up with English commentaries, but when you throw a different language out there, that really makes it tough. Anyway, in some commentary, they were making mention how that in the Old Testament, the prophets would say, "Thus saith the Lord." Thus saith the Lord. And they took note right here of the Lord. Verse 17, "Assuredly, I say to you," it's not a "thus saith the Lord." No, right here, the Lord is Himself saying, "I say to you." How much weightier. "I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Coming unto the Lord by the ability and strength of another, the Lord Himself. Recognizing, "I know not, I cannot, and yet you know and you can." I love it. I love it. All right. So that's the passage. Now, let's look at, still in Luke chapter 18, let's look at verse 9 through 14. So we're going to start looking at the context here. "Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others," that they themselves were righteous. "Two men," and this is a parable, "two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector standing afar off." Okay, here's the Pharisee saying, "Look, I'm glad I'm not like the others. I do this, I do that. I understand what your scriptures want, and I'm doing it. Unlike these other people who aren't, I'm doing it." Taking the scriptures out of context, because the context is simply this: "They are they that testify of me, and you will not come to me." So there he is praying to the Lord. He's boasting in himself and in his ability and what he's done, is in how he's understood the scriptures and how he has been, listen, obedient unto his understanding of the scriptures. And yet he is completely disobedient unto the testimony, because obedience unto the testimony is repentance. When the heart turns to the Lord, is coming to the Lord. But once again, one cannot repent except God grant repentance. Verse 13 of Luke chapter 18. "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Merciful. "I find myself with no ability. Be merciful unto me, because you are the one who is able. It is within your power." Do you remember? Just thinking of this right here. Blind Bartimaeus. "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." The man was blind. He knew to whatever degree that he had no power to change his condition. So he cries out for mercy unto the one who can, unto the one who is able, to Jesus, acknowledging him as the Christ, "Thou son of David," as the Christ, the one to come. So Jesus comes to him and says, What would you have me do for you that I may receive my sight?" And the Lord gives him sight. And he followed Jesus in the way. I love it. All right, but we're running out of time, so So I'll just keep on reading here. Verse 14, this is Jesus speaking. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. The one who cried out for mercy unto God. Rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. And the thing is, we cannot humble ourselves. That also is a miracle of God. Listen, if the thing brings to the person, to the face of Christ, if the thing brings to Christ, it is of God. For one to humble themselves, truly humble themselves, it is a work of the Spirit in the heart. I love it. Where can man boast? Man can't boast in anything. We can't do anything, but we believe we can, like the Pharisee, you know, like the rich young ruler. We believe we can. We think we can do it. We can't do anything. We're just ignorant of the fact that we can't, because we believe we can. All right. Gosh, there's several other passages. Just that verse, going back, I'll just read it real quick. Once again, now, again with, Okay, we're not there yet. Luke 18, now we're going to read after. Because we read up to verse 14, and verse 14 ends Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and now starts verse 15, where we started a while ago, where Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And now, let's go ahead and read verse 18 through 27. Now a certain ruler, here's another parable that Jesus, it's not a parable, the rich young ruler. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? None is good but one, that is God." And it goes on, you know the commandments. He says, "All things I have kept from my youth." You still lack one thing, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And verse 22, and come, follow me. Just that word, come, right there, is Strong's number 1204. I did a quick search on that term. Forgive me, I didn't look up the term. I just looked at the Strong's number, but it's... Deuro? Something like that. The Greek pronunciation, Deuro. Something like that. But it's Strong's number 1204, and the exact same term appears in these other passages. I just thought it was neat. I just want to go ahead and read them real quick, and I know we're running out of time, but I want to go ahead and read them. This is John chapter 11. Verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, this is Jesus, remember John chapter 11, what do you think of? Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead in the tomb, I think like 3 or 4 days. He stinks. That's what Mary said. Or Martha. You know, our brother, he stinks. He's been buried. And when he had thus spoken, when Jesus had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Not in your own ability, Lazarus. You're dead. You have no ability. Not in your own strength, Lazarus. You're dead. You have no strength. Not in your own life, Lazarus. You're dead. You have no life. But come. in my ability. Come in my strength. Come in my life. I love that. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And I'll just go ahead and finish. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Take the veils away. All right. Another passage, Acts chapter 7, verse 3. By now you should know Acts chapter 7 is going to be talking about Abram, right? That's Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin. Verse 3. And he said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. Get thee out and come. I love it. And then Acts chapter 7, verse 34. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send thee into Egypt. And now, come, I will send thee into Egypt. So, I wrote that down just for Bible school students, that particular one, because everybody wants to be sent of the Lord. Everybody wants to go, well, I'll say believers. All the believers, they want to be sent to the Lord. They want to go preach. They want to go teach. They want to go serve the Lord. But just how we read it. And I am come down, this is the Lord speaking, I am come down to deliver them. And now he says to Moses, and now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Come. But how will you come? Like a child. Having no ability of your own. No power of your own. No life of your own. Listen to this. No ministry of your own. No nothing of your own. But finding all things in the person of Christ himself. True repentance. Moses did repent. All right, I am out of time. One last passage, and you can—I'll just read the passage, but you can read the context. These have just been really beautiful, but because for the sake of time, I'll just read the passage, and you can read the context of it. This is back in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 6. And the context, I'll just say this so you can jot it down if you want to read the context. The context is, you'll find the whole entire context of this passage here with Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. You're going to find it with starting with Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27, and ending with Matthew 18, verses 7 through 14. All right, so here's the passage that's in the middle, Matthew 18, 1 through 6. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's the boss? Who gets to tell everybody else what to do or whatever concepts we have? Concepts we have. At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them. Called a little child to him. The child came to him, and he set the child in the midst, and said, assuredly, I say to you, not thus saith the Lord, not some other man speaking for me. No, I am speaking. I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, And I'm looking at that term converted. To turn. It's Strong's number 4762. Strefel. And, oh gosh, I don't know how many years back I looked at the term epistrefo, which is found in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians like chapter 3, somewhere in there, when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. This is the part of that word, strefo, to turn. Strengthen, this is Strong's Greek dictionary here. Strengthened from the base of Strong's number 5157, to twist, i.e. turn, quite around or reverse, literally or figuratively, convert, turn, turn again, turn back again, turn self about, repent. Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted, except your heart turn, except you repent, and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Why? Because the understanding of one whose heart turns unto the Lord is simply this: not I, but Christ. Not my words, but His. Not my doing, His doing. Not my strength, His strength. Not my life, His life. Not my ability, His ability. Not my love, He who is the love of God. Do you see it? And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Because the understanding that governs this one is not I, but Christ. So, I know we're out of time. That was the last passage that I wanted us to read. It's just great. I'll just actually read the last part because it was liberating for me when I was in Bible school when I read this. At verse 5, and whoso shall, verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Gosh, that used to terrify me because I had, Before the Lord drew my heart unto knowing Him, where I was finding myself as helpless, not knowing, I had seen myself as knowing. And in my knowing of, just like the Pharisees, in my knowing of the Scriptures, I offended several others. And that verse, man, that used to condemn me like crazy. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. It's like, man, get rid of him. And I thought, oh my God, I'm doomed. And I think it was only till I was in Bible school that, you know, in searching the Scriptures and in just being condemned all the time, that the Lord just liberated my heart and said, yes, this one that offended, this is the one whom I crucified. This is the one whom I buried, never to be seen again. The thing is, speaking to me, your heart is trying to behold and continue to behold that which I put away instead of beholding Him who remains. Death, burial, resurrection. Who remains? Like Jesus coming unto John on the Isle of Patmos. I am he that liveth I am the life here. Very liberating for me. But that's just different than our passage, but it brings back glorious memories of the Lord. Because, as I stated, we just don't know how much of God it all is. You know, we don't know. We think it's all about us and what we're doing or what we're not doing. And that is completely incorrect. It is all about Christ, the Son of the living God, and coming to behold this one, coming unto Him, the heart turning unto Him, a true repentance found in our heart where it turns to behold Him who's present. So, this coming must be as children, because it is hidden from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. And what does the Lord say? Let the little children come unto me. Let those who confess their ignorance, who confess their inability, who confess their weakness, that they are weak, let those who confess that they cannot, let those come unto me. Amen. Amen. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to keep on preparing the ground of our heart till we also can be humbled by the Spirit of God, that our heart may turn and be brought by the Spirit of God from the understanding of man, which is below, unto the understanding of God, which is above, to behold Him who is present in the midst, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll let you go for this class. We'll see you in our next class. The Lord bless. Amen.